right, an idiot and expert podcast, episode 4. Here we are again. My name's Calcio Joe. I'm here with Claudio Perfetto. You guys can find us on Twitter at idiotexpertpod, at cperfetto11, at calciojoe5. Thank you guys for joining us. Claudio, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for the support. Please keep listening and rate us if you have the opportunity.
Rate us and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, on Anchor, also on cloudsports.tk. We have a nice ambiance going on here in our studio. We have the Syracuse Arizona State game going on.
Yep, so
you know, we're trying to pick up on that too, because our Twitter poll shows that most of our listeners seem to find basketball as the most enjoyable sport afterwards, right, after soccer.
Joe was very sad to find out that baseball was actually the least favorite out of the four.
Oh man,
so sorry about that.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, let's start off with the Champions League. That seems to be the hot topic in the soccer world today. Down to 8 teams, 2 Italian teams involved, Juventus and Roma. Juventus, obviously, we've talked about, and it's been well documented on multiple podcasts and newspapers and websites. They're supposed to be there. Roma, a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
How big of a surprise would we characterize that as?
Starting from the beginning of the competition, it's actually a pretty big surprise, because they were in the same group as Chelsea and Atletico Madrid, and they qualified over Atletico Madrid. So to get to the round of 16 was a big accomplishment for them. Then once they got there, they got a favorable draw playing Shakhtar Donetsk, which is not a huge team, but they are in the competition often, so not an easy team. They actually qualified for the round of 16 over Napoli, who is one of the better teams in Serie A. So I would say the bigger surprise was getting to the round of 16, but they did well to pass through Shakhtar, especially going into the second game down 2-1, and they needed to win 1-0, and they were able to accomplish that. So good for them.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, is it all gravy from here? I mean, for them at this point, you know,
I would say
they've accomplished their goal, right?
Yeah, but definitely. This is probably better than they thought they would do, and it all depends on who they play now in the quarterfinals. But they're at a point now where they're going to be playing a tough team.
That's a good point, because obviously new to the sport. In American sports, usually everything is laid out. You can see brackets beforehand. Mm-hmm. You can see seeds. We know that things either re-rank or whatnot. In football, you know, you have the 1 seed, the 2 seed, all the way down to the 6 seed. So you kind of have an idea of who is going to be lurking down the road.
Right.
It doesn't seem to be that way in the Champions League.
No, there'll be... So the round of 16, we've explained before on the podcast how that kind of works, where the first place teams in each group are pitted against the runners-up in each group. But when it gets to the quarterfinals, it's totally random. So there'll be a draw on Friday, and they will pull names out of a hat one by one, and that's who you're going to be paired up against.
Do we think that's fairer than the American system? Because obviously the American system... And, you know, there's not one system, but let's just take basketball and for the NBA, for example. The league has talked about looking into changing this playoff system up, 1 through 16, no longer having conferences. Do we think it's a fair, draw to literally pull names out of a hat and not to give a higher-ranking team an advantage against a lower ranking team?
So it's not necessarily unfair, because it would be hard to rank everybody, because you're starting out in different groups, so you're not playing each other from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So how do you know who the first seed is and who the 8th seed is and all that? So it's pretty tough to do. You could do a World Cup type system, which the World Cup has everything set out before, so it'll say like the winner of group A is going to play second place in group B and vice versa, and you're already on one side of the bracket, so you kind of know who you're going to play going ahead. This is different. This is totally random.
So let's take a step back here. Wouldn't the UEFA runs the Champions League, correct? Yeah. The prevailing thought throughout the United States is that FIFA and UEFA, these organizations of soccer, are not the most... they're somewhat corrupt.
Right.
So, well,
especially FIFA, yeah.
Wouldn't it behoove them to have this all planned out beforehand? Now, would it be convenient for... who would we say is the favorite in the tournament moving forward? Manchester City?
I would say either Real Madrid or Barcelona. Real Madrid, two-time defending champion. Barcelona, you know, is still a very strong
obviously
team.
For ratings purposes, you want the biggest fan base to move on to the next round and right. make it to the championship. Wouldn't it be smart for UEFA to give them the easiest draw so that they can make it through to the next round?
That's true, but I think once you get to this round of the quarterfinals, eight teams, they know historically they're getting a ton of big teams. So it's very hard for a smaller team to get to this point. So I think that they just figure that at this point they're gonna have to pair big teams up with each other. So it's gonna be hard to kind of set that all up.
Stay woke, Claude.
Yeah, well,
stay woke. Because let's think about it this way. It would make sense, though. Like, these are huge, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to say corrupt right. organizations, but prevailing thoughts are that they're not the
right.
They're not the sterling example of honor
right.
Among professional organizations in the world. I would be nervous if I was a fan of any of these teams because it's literally being drawn out of a hat. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, last year, you know, take Juventus for example, they had to play Barcelona in the quarterfinals, which was tough, and they got past it, and then they had to take on Monaco in the semifinals, which was an easier team than Barcelona, where they became the favorites. So, you know, ideally, it would have been the reverse, where Juventus would have taken on Monaco in the quarterfinals and then Barcelona in the semifinals, but... You know, it's luck of the draw, as they say.
Well, I can't change those leagues, and I can't change the...
Well, they did change going forward next year. They did change the format to get into the competition, where they're basically saying, we need four teams from England, Italy, Spain, and Germany, because those are the best teams, the most well-known teams. Mm-hmm. So we want as many of those teams in the tournament from the beginning as possible.
And
so.
How is that compared to this current?
So the way it works right now is Spain gets three automatic berths to the group stage and one to the qualifying round before the group stage.
Are they eliminating the qualifying round?
You could be. You have to play another.
No, I'm saying are they eliminating the qualifying round altogether?
No, there is a qualifying round, but Spain, Germany, Italy, and England don't have to participate in that qualifying round anymore. They go straight into the group stage. So they're basically saying
that those leagues are the better leagues.
Yeah, and they're getting straight directly in, and then the smaller leagues are going to fight it out.
Well, if I was like Shakhtar or...
Right, a team like Shakhtar
would be really upset about
that. Tougher time getting in next year, so...
All right, well, they know what puts people in the seats.
Yeah.
And those are the bigger teams. So... We have two Italian teams.
Yes.
This is the first time since 2006, 2007.
Yep.
What does that say about the state of Italian soccer right now?
It's getting better. You know, Juventus in the past couple of years have made it to the finals 2 out of 3 years. So they're obviously at the top of European soccer right now. And to have another team join them like Roma is, I think it's positive. You know, next year they're going to have four teams directly into the group stage, so the chances
now,
will improve.
I mean, this would anger probably the English listeners, but is it a fair statement to say that Italian soccer is possibly making its way up to being one of the best league in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now Spain is at the top of the list. They're by far. I mean, they're just...
But the disparity between the top teams and the bottom teams is... pretty wide
in
Spain.
Well, that's what you would think that, but then you take the Manchester United Sevilla game. Sevilla's fifth place in Spain, and they played Manchester United, who's second place in England, and they beat them. And so we think that the Spanish teams have a big disparity because Barcelona and Real Madrid are going out and beating everybody every week and every year. But maybe it's just they're that much better than everybody else. Yeah. And the rest of the league is still very strong. So I think Spain is up at the top. And then I think right now, I would say Italy is still a little behind. But once the Milan teams, AC Milan and Inter Milan, get back, it's going to be good for Italian soccer.
Well, I will say this. It makes sense for people to be interested and to think that the product the Italian league is producing is one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world, because it's one of the only races that still matter
right now for this season.
So I mean, we'll get into that more later on. And you kind of touched on the next avenue we wanted to go down, which was Manchester United not making it. Obviously, they're one of the best known teams in the world. It's not the best thing for the competition. But it does show that if you don't come to play, you will easily get knocked out. You're not playing any, you know, powder puffs out there. Right. These are good soccer teams.
Yeah, and if you look at it, when they played Liverpool on Saturday, they had a very similar strategy. They've played very defensive. They didn't give Liverpool any space. Liverpool has very good players up front, and they usually they're quick and they get into space, and that's how they score goals. Manchester United didn't allow them to do that, but it didn't work against Sevilla because Sevilla has a lot of technical players that were able to pass the ball around and still find those little spaces. And you could tell in the first half Sevilla was kind of getting right to the edge of the box. And they weren't able to get that final pass into the box to score, but you just had a feeling that eventually they were going to figure it out and they were going to be able to score, and that's what happened.
And Jose Mourinho, who's the coach of Manchester United, everything that I read, he was getting trashed after the game. This kind of goes back to the topic that we've been talking about in the past few episodes with soccer managers and how much different it is than American coaches and managers. The room for the leash is a lot shorter in soccer.
But let me break it down for you for a little bit, because he has always had a defensive style of playing where, you know, he's been at Real Madrid, he's been at Inter Milan, he was at Chelsea, he was at Porto. So he's always had a defensive style of playing, and it's always been a winning style for him. It's worked. He's won. You know, wherever he's gone, he's won. Manchester United's style historically has not been that. It's been very attacking, very entertaining. It's more of a show, and they've won that way. But they hired Mourinho because the past few years have been terrible for them. You know, after Alex Ferguson retired, they hired coaches David Moyes and Louis van Gaal, who weren't even getting them into the Champions League. So I'm sure a couple of years ago they would have signed up for, you know, being second place in the Premier League, being in the round of 16 of the Champions League. And the owners probably had that in mind. And they were like, you know, Mourinho's a sure thing. Maybe he's not the most attractive style, but he's a sure thing. Where he, I think, is wrong is he's not very diplomatic. So after the game, he said like some stupid quote about how when he coached Porto, they beat Manchester United in the Champions League. When he coached Real Madrid, they beat Manchester United in the Champions League. So he's like, this has happened to Manchester United before. It's not a big deal. I've been in the seat where it's happened to them already. And it's just like, you know, say that you should have beat Sevilla and we didn't, and that's it. Don't make stupid comments like that. That's where I think fans get a little
mad. You know what? I think it's funny. I think your American background is coming out a little bit, because your first instinct is he's had success everywhere else. He's built equity. Now he's at the point, even this season with Manchester United, they just had a big win against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Give him a little bit of space if he had a loss. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world. Whereas you read on Twitter and articles online that the Manchester United fans, they want to win every single game.
Right.
And they want to get rid of him immediately. Yeah. I think it's an interesting breakdown between the American philosophy and the European philosophy. Americans seem to accept the mediocrity, or not really mediocrity, but understand that you can't win every single game. In soccer terms, I think everyone wants to win every single game, yeah. And they're willing to blame the coach if they don't win every single
game.
And
I think part of it is that Manchester City is in first place, and they're still in the Champions League, and the United fans, they don't like that because Manchester City was always the little brother. They never thought Manchester City would overtake them, but they sold to a rich owner. He invested a lot into the team, and now here they are. They're one of the best teams in Europe.
Your best comparison would be if the Mets...
right.
Let's do a basketball analogy. Let's do a basketball analogy. If the Nets...
Which they tried to
do. If the Brooklyn Nets made the finals, James Dolan would lose his mind as the Knicks owner. And, you know, not only is he trying to protect his investment in the team because he's trying to keep his fans loyal, because obviously there's a percentage of fans that will go back and forth between teams, but also it's that extra thorn in your side when the city rival is the one that's winning the championships and you are sitting back not really doing anything. We use the basketball analogy, you use the baseball analogy of the Yankees and the Mets. The Wilpons came out and had a quote about the Yankees getting Giancarlo Stanton, that the move wasn't sustainable. What's not sustainable? Exactly. Getting guys that almost hit 60 home runs a year? Exactly. What's not sustainable about that?
It's true. And that's what they're going through. They're just upset that they're out of the competition now because their neighbors are in the competition, and on top of that, their neighbors have a huge lead in the Premier League, and they're going to win it. So it's just a bad time, but they would have signed up for it two years ago.
But what I'm hearing from you is trust the process of Mourinho. He's a good coach.
Not so much trust it, but you know what you're getting out of him. This isn't a rookie coach that you're hiring for the first time.
You knew you were going to hire a defensive coach.
You knew you're getting the guy who plays this way. Like, this is his style. This is how he wins. And now, it's up to the owners to decide, hey, you know, we knew that this was going to be a short-term thing where we wanted him to get us back to this level. Now we're going to bring somebody else in to try to play more entertaining, more attractive, and get us to an even higher level. Or if they're going to stick with him, knowing that he will bring, you know, consistent results.
Yeah, I mean, NFL teams do that from time to time. They'll hire a defensive-minded coach to begin with. They'll have them build up the defense. They'll have them bring structure into the organization, and then when they reach that final peaking point where they've gotten everything out of the defensive minded coach, they bring in the offensive genius, the young coordinator, and he then takes the team over the top to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly, it's very similar.
So you know that's something that I can see in this situation. Do you think he survives the year?
For sure, yeah.
Do you think he'll be the coach in 2020?
2020, he tends to leave after a couple of years himself. He doesn't stay places long, so I don't think so. Because I just don't... Between the way he's acting right now and the fans' thoughts towards him...
Well, clearly this is a guy that doesn't care what he... What
he doesn't.
He does not care at all what he says in the press conferences, and he doesn't care how he's received to his fan base and to the press.
Right.
And another story that involves him this past week is that he called Frank de Boer the worst manager in Premier League history. So you want to give us a little background on that?
Yeah, so Frank de Boer, when he managed in the Premier League, it was a very short stint where he lost 7 games. That's it. He played 7 games, he lost 7 games, and he didn't score. His team didn't score a goal in any of those games. Mm. So
it's a rich coat tight. I see it.
Exactly. So he came out. He's now, you know, on one of those shows analyzing the Premier League and stuff. And he made a comment that Marcus Rashford, who plays for Manchester United and Mourinho now, it's unfortunate that he's playing for Mourinho because he's only going to learn like how to win or something weird like that. He's not going to learn how to like become a better player. He's just going to care about winning, or because Mourinho cares about winning so much. Something
like that. That's an
interesting
quote.
Yeah.
I would like my players to only care about winning.
So Mourinho came back and said that he's basically the worst manager in Premier League history. And if Rashford played for him, he would just learn how to accept losing. Yeah, he buried him.
I like that. I really like that. I mean, that would be the American equivalent of Bill Belichick or Rex Ryan on ESPN or NFL Countdown.
Exactly.
Making a comment about Bill Belichick not knowing how to coach his team, and then Bill Belichick coming back and saying, "You're an abomination of a football coach."
Exactly. It's very similar to that. So
I like it.
That's Mourinho. So.
I mean, that's an interesting, a testy personality. But what I'm learning is that the personalities of the managers are almost larger than life in the soccer world.
The top managers are huge. They just, because wherever they go, they win. So everybody wants them.
So that's an interesting point. So in soccer, do you think that the coach, and I have my opinions on this in all different sports.
Yeah.
So I think that in baseball, it makes a little bit of a difference. It's not the be-all, end-all. In the NFL, I think it makes a gigantic difference because they're involved in every single play with play calling. In the NBA, I really don't think it's you could see with the Warriors right now.
Steve Kerr lets the team coach.
I mean, obviously, you can get a lot out of minimal talent if you're a very, very good coach. But once you reach the top levels and you have the best players around you, Phil Jackson won 11 championships. I mean, he's a good coach, but at the end of the day, it's because he had Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Shaquille O'Neal. So,
well, in soccer, it's the combination. The teams that have the most money and are able to buy the best players, they have the foundation. But they do need the coach, like a Pep Guardiola of Manchester City. He came in and he's taken Manchester City to a whole other level, which, you know, he needs the players to do, obviously. If he was coaching, you know,
Give me an example of one of these premier lifelike coaches, or, you know, larger than life coaches that did an excellent job with a team that was not that talented.
Claudio Ranieri, Leicester City, a couple years ago. That team had no business winning the Premier League, and they won the Premier League. So.
And that's based off of strategy and...
Right. He had good players, good personnel, and his formation and tactics worked. And I guess they started the season off very strong, and they just believed in it after that, and they were able to get result after result and win. But it very, very rarely happens that way. You know,
so usually, you would say it's less likely in soccer than it is in...
In terms of winning, I think managers have big input in the teams that make the Champions League. Like, you could maybe not have that much talent and go and make the Champions League, you know, become fourth place in your league and qualify for the Champions League. That we could see often, but actually winning it, you need the players too, most of the time.
All right, since we're on the manager topic, and again, if you like what you hear on this podcast, you of course can subscribe on iTunes, you can listen on Anchor, you can listen to us on cloudsports.tk, follow us at Idiot Expert Pod on Twitter, follow my co-host, Claudio Perfetto, at CPerfetto11. Follow myself, at CalchoJoe5. Because we engage in these conversations on Twitter. And since we're talking about managers, we'll kind of transition a little bit to Serie A and an interesting quote that I heard from the Inter manager, Spalletti, and I'll read it to you. "I've worked with this team every day, and I think there is simply a lack of quality. Napoli have quality, we don't have much." So obviously that's an English translation of his original quote in Italian. This piqued my interest during the week, and I don't know how you feel about this, but if I heard this as an American sports fan, this is a wild quote to me, because with the exception of rebuilding teams, in American sports, you will never hear this from a coach in American sports.
Well, I don't even think you would hear it in a rebuild. It's very rare.
Yeah, you would.
Not that way.
It's very rare to say that we just aren't talented enough.
Right.
Even if you have a team of Jared Jeffries, and four guys off the bench to play basketball, you would never say that we don't have the talent to win the game. We'll give credit to the other team. We'll say the other team outperformed. They're very talented. But I would never just say my team has no talent. That's besides. Even these college coaches, the NCAA tournament is you know, at the end of the week, the 16 seeds, I don't think they'll ever say that my guys in the room, they're just not good enough.
It's true, and I think he's just a little frustrated. They got off to a great start. Inter, they were up there with Napoli and Juventus competing for the championship, and they fell off. And Inter's had this happen to them in the past few years where they go on like these amazing runs of games where they're you're like, oh my God, can Inter win the Serie A? And then all of a sudden, they completely fall apart and lose game after game or tie game after game, and they fall out of the Champions League places. So, and that's pretty much what happened to them this season. Now, they thought that he was the Roma coach before, and he had a great reputation there. So they thought that it would be different this year because he was getting the best out of his team, and they were competing, and they figured they would stay up at the top, but they haven't. They fell now to fifth place. Milan is like breathing down their necks. So I think he's just frustrated. The team isn't spending money the way he probably thought they would to buy new players, and that's his way of maybe saying like, "Look, this isn't my fault." You know, you guys.
Does this quote have any credence? Are they not as talented as the other teams?
I mean, Roma is not as talented as Napoli, but they beat Napoli 4-2 last week. So, anything can happen. I mean, overall, they're not as good as Napoli is, but can you beat a team in one game? Of course you can, and they do have talent. You know, Icardi, their striker, is one of the best in Italy.
How can his players now
right
go and play for him after he just said that you guys just aren't talented enough?
There's a lot of rumors around Inter that say things like the dressing room is all messed up. They don't really get along with the players. Don't get along with each other, and that's why they always go through these runs where they start out well and they kind of fall apart because they have internal struggles and things. And maybe that's all playing into it. And I agree. I don't see how this helps to hear that.
Really, I mean, I know I'm not the expert in soccer, but sport is sport.
Yeah.
And when you hear that your coach says, the guys in my room, we just can't get it done. They're not good enough. Who are you going to play for? I mean, unless he's some master motivator that's trying to unite his players against him, I can't see how this is beneficial for the team.
Agreed. It won't be. And they have a few games left, and they need to. Their goal was to get into the Champions League next year, and right now they're on the outside looking in, and you know they're gonna have a tough time, and I don't see this helping. They're already fragile. You know, they're a very fragile team because for the past few years, like I said, they've gone up and down so much that they have a very fragile mentality to begin with, and hearing that from the coach can't help it.
So now the team that they tied this past weekend was Napoli.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about, and if you follow Serie A, you know that the race for the championship is going to come down to Juventus and Napoli.
Yeah.
So the question we posed last week was, can Napoli bounce back from their loss to Roma? Now they're playing.
They played Inter.
They play Inter.
They did.
And they tied Inter.
Mm-hmm.
Juventus is unstoppable right now. As of a few hours ago, they beat Atalanta, which is a hilarious name, first off. Sounds exactly like Atlanta. They beat them 3-0.
Not from Atlanta.
Yeah. But they beat them 3-0.
2-0.
So they have a 4-point lead right now. Mm-hmm. Same amount of games left remaining, mm-hmm. correct? And one game against each other. I don't know if Napoli is going to be able to bounce back from this.
So, I feel like partly it's my fault. Because I went to a Napolitan pizzeria a few weeks ago. Actually, the Friday before the Roma game. And I wore a Napoli jersey to that pizzeria for the first time.
Were you trying to get free food?
I was trying to get free food. It did not work. I got a mention on Twitter, though. They tagged me in a photo on Twitter. But I didn't get free food. And Napoli, since then, has lost to Roma 4-2, tied Inter 0-0, and is now 4 points behind Juventus.
All right, Eddie.
Not looking good.
Good job.
So I don't want to say that the race is over, because Juventus is still in the Champions League, so they have some big games ahead of them, and they could lose focus, slip up here and there. But usually at this time of the year, if they're ahead, they're not looking back. So I would be very worried if I were a Napoli fan.
So I'll say this. Well, first off, before we get into more of the actual race and matchup, you're an AC Milan guy. What are you doing wearing the jersey? Why do you even own the jersey?
I have a lot of jerseys. I'm a fan of jerseys. It's an Insigne jersey.
Okay.
So I try to buy. I like to get a staple of the team in their jersey. So I bought the Insigne jersey because I am an AC Milan fan, but I also try to be very, very unbiased since I write about the sport and everything, and I like to dabble.
Who are you fooling? Why would you buy another team's jersey and support their colors?
There are two jerseys that I won't buy.
Go ahead.
Inter Milan.
Okay.
I'll never buy an Inter Milan jersey.
All right.
And the Juventus jersey. And I won't buy a Juventus jersey because my father and my brother are Juventus fans. So the rivalry in the household does not permit me to buy a Juventus jersey. So those are the two that I would never buy. But everything else is fair game.
Would you say that... because I can't imagine... Baseball is more of a regional sport.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball fans, if you're a fan of the Yankees, you're not going to buy a Miami Marlins jersey. You're not going to buy a San Francisco Giants jersey, a Los Angeles Dodgers jersey. But in the NBA, that's more of a player-centric league, and
right.
People follow they could be fans of the Lakers, but they could be LeBron fans, and they'll buy a LeBron jersey. Is soccer closer to the baseball methodology of just supporting the team, or is it closer towards the player methodology, which we see in the NBA?
I think it's more regional, but you could buy the player's national team jersey.
So that's where it becomes a little twisted.
So technically I should be buying an Insigne Italy jersey, but I have respect for Napoli. So
or maybe you're playing the long game and you're just jinxing all these teams. Did you ever think about buying Juventus? How many championships have they won in a row?
I won't. I have a Juventus voodoo doll in my room.
Stop.
That's may or may not be true. But I will not buy the jersey.
I'm just saying, maybe think about it. Maybe next year. All right.
I'll try it. I'll wear my brother's one then.
Tweet at him at CPerfetto11. If you want Juventus to lose, if you don't want to see them win a championship, maybe we'll start a GoFundMe for a jersey. What amount of money would it take for you to put that jersey on?
It's priceless. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
It's lost. Lost for words.
I would never hear the end of it. So I can't do it. I know so many Juventus fans in my life that would drive me crazy if I ever put the Juventus jersey on. So I can't do
it. Okay. So what if you put it on? Behind, like, not on social media, didn't put it on Facebook, didn't put it on Twitter, or anything like that. And you only did it to try to reverse jinx them.
Would that work? I feel like if you do it, you have to go 100%. So I don't know if that would work. I'll tell you this. If there is a restaurant that specializes in food from Torino, I'll wear a Juventus jersey to the restaurant if someone comes forward.
I like it. So let's get into the actual race. My thoughts are this. I know Napoli's behind the eight ball now.
Yes.
But they're a very talented team. They've gotten this far. They score goals. And you've been saying this, and I want to knock you on this a little bit. From the minute that Dybala scored the goal against Lazio,
mm-hmm.
you have said the race is over.
I said it's going to be very tough.
I will bring up the text message. You have said everywhere along the way, the Dybala goal, then they lose the game to Roma, and now this past week, ever since that goal was scored, you said the race is over. So I'm just going to say that that's your opinion. My opinion is that if they can find a way to win that game against Juventus, and they played them, I mean, they lost the game, but they played them relatively close the first time, and now they have some extra motivation that they need to win. Mm-hmm. The first game that they played, they didn't need to win. They played more of a trying to tie, trying to just get out with a point. If they can win that game, it's a totally different... Now, then it's a 1 point.
But that's where I disagree. I picked Napoli to win at the beginning of the season, so I would like them to win for a number of reasons. Number one, I like them better. Number two, I'm sick of seeing Juventus win. And number three, I would like to be right.
All right.
But I just felt like that Dybala goal came out of nowhere, and it demoralized them so bad. And that wasn't the worst part of it. Now they're in a bad spot because I agree with you. If it was that one game, even though it would be really tough because no one wins at Juventus Stadium ever. Like, look at the stats. They've lost maybe like three games there since it's opened. So nobody wins there. But say that they could go there and win, the 4 points is what kills me now because now they need Juventus to slip up in another game
and
too.
The thing is, you don't think they're going to slip up.
I don't think so. I mean,
how does their schedule look the remainder of the way? Is there a game that you're looking at and saying so, they could slip? They could tie like a you know, Napoli just played Inter and they drew.
Juventus has a tougher schedule. So okay. Juventus still has to play Milan. They still have to play Inter and they still have to play Roma and they still have to play Napoli. Roma and Inter and Lazio out of the way.
I just want everyone at home to realize this. They have to play your team.
Yeah, both of them do.
Well, both of them do. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm hoping Milan wins both games and it's a wash. So Milan has no impact on the title race whatsoever.
That's interesting because I was about to say, if not only do you think that Napoli's not going to come from behind from the 4 point deficit, but you're saying that even your own team can't help Napoli out.
I'm saying that they could help Napoli by beating Juventus, but then what's going to happen when they beat Napoli too?
All right.
Then they're going to hurt Napoli that week. So
I see how it is. All right. So, I mean, it's an interesting matchup, and I think we talked about before, it's one of the only league left that has still a championship race, even though it seems to be that Juventus is starting to pull away as we go. It's definitely going to be interesting as we move forward. Keep listening. Keep following us because we're going to document it every step.
Napoli's going to put up a fight.
They'll
put up a fight. They've invested a lot into it.
When is the game? Do you know when the game?
April 22nd.
April 22nd. So
it's a little over a month away. But
what is the point total that they need to be within?
I think if they're within 3 points going into that game,
there it is.
That's the game. There's the championship.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the game you have to mark down on the calendar. Let's turn now to, we just spoke about your team, AC Milan. Mm-hmm. They have a very, very high, a very, very difficult task now. They're down 2-0 after the first leg of the Europa tournament. They're moving into the second leg. The game is tomorrow, probably by the time you're listening to this. It's in preparation of the game, or the game might be actually over. Arsenal has a 2-0 lead right now. It's going to be in Arsenal
Monday.
What are you thinking are the odds?
So Arsenal's not a place. They play in London. Okay.
I understand that.
Just wanted to clear that up.
When I say in Arsenal, yeah, I mean it's in the stadium. At Arsenal, yes.
The Emirates. so for the actual game...
I may be an idiot about a lot of things. Geography, I'm not an idiot about.
they're making a lot of changes. So I find that interesting. I think that's good. I think from the first game, you could tell they needed more speed. Because offensively, they were trying to go forward. And then once the midfielders got forward, they didn't get back on defense once Arsenal got the ball. And it left the defense very exposed because they were just too slow. So I think they'll make some changes to combat that, where they'll have some more speed on the field. Andre Silva, who scored a goal in the last literally the last second against Genoa,
right?
His first goal in Serie A. He has scored a bunch in the Europa League, but that was his first Serie A goal. He's a very talented player. Cristiano Ronaldo actually said, when he retires from Portugal, they'll still be in good hands because they have Andre Silva.
Okay.
So. He's going to – all reports indicate that he's going to start tomorrow. He hasn't been starting games, but he's supposed to start tomorrow.
So Patrick Coutrone.
No. So supposedly he's switching up the formation to go with two strikers. So Coutrone will start alongside Andre Silva, either Coutrone or Kalinic.
You're trying to show me up with the pronunciation, by the way.
Yeah. This is my team, Nacho. So they're going to change things up. And look, Arsenal – they've been playing much better. They beat Milan, and then over the weekend they won 3-0. They beat, I think, Burnley 3-0. So they've been playing much better. Or Watford, I forgot which team. But if they give up a goal early to Milan, I think Milan will have a shot. The thing that kills them is if they give up a goal to Arsenal, it becomes a much tougher fight.
Yeah,
so that's going to be the issue. But you never know. It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup. If they win the game, but they lose on points with the aggregate,
mm-hmm.
is that a success for you?
No.
This competition
is important to them because they were using it to try to get into the Champions League, and it doesn't matter if they win the game. Yes and no. I mean, I don't think it's a success, but it's good for the team to go away and beat a Premier League team.
We have talked about how they're a young team, and Gattuso is obviously a young coach. And it seems that the Milan fans, unlike the English Manchester United fans, are willing to grow with Gattuso as long as they are a success.
Well, they... now because he's doing well, but they fired the coach in December, the original coach, Montella, who actually coaches Sevilla now and beat Manchester United. But they got rid of him because they lost their patience. And in the beginning, Gattuso had a little bit of a tough stretch. He didn't start off great. And no one was like, oh, I mean, some people were like, let's give him time. He might need time. But most of the people were like, he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, this was a mistake, blah, blah, blah. So it helps that he's doing well.
So it's interesting that you mentioned Montella, who ended up landing on his feet and ended up in the Champions League. That's a wild turn of events.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that happening in American sports, because usually when you lose your job mid-year, you're not going to coach until the next season.
Right.
How did this happen?
Because it's cross leagues. It's not. It wouldn't have happened in Italy. So if the rule was, and I think it still is, that if you get fired in Italy, you can't go coach Italian team.
Okay, I'm not saying, because in American sports you can. There's no rule in the leagues against you going to coach another team.
I think it's because I know what you're saying, and I think it's because they don't have that bad taste in their mouths in Spain because it's so far away from them. So maybe they weren't watching Milan as closely. And, you know, he has a decent record. He did well with them last year. They had a young team, and he got the best out of them. He did well at Fiorentina and Sampdoria. So he, you know, he has a good record. So they probably figured maybe he just needed a change of scenery. You know?
Well, it seems to be working out. That guy's got a horseshoe. You know, it's really, really lucky to fall, you know, to have that fall into your lap and to be on a successful team to now be in the Champions League with only 8 teams left, mm-hmm. He should probably try to renegotiate, get a contract extension at this point.
I would. Why not?
Yep. All right. If you like what you hear, you can download us and subscribe and rate and review. We really need some ratings and we really need some reviews. Any feedback is actually terrific. You can do that on iTunes. You can tweet us at @idiotexpertpod. You can find us on Anchor. You can also find us on Cloud Sports TK. And we'll move to our final topic, which seems to be our final topic every single week.
Right.
The MLS. So a few days ago, we decided, because the MLS season is starting.
They're 2 games in so far.
Yeah, they're in the process of
It's a very early stage
early
of the
season.
Yep.
Yeah, we had those tweets, MLS is back. That makes a lot more sense now.
Right, those were actual MLS games.
Okay.
That we would tweet.
So we decided that it would be more interesting for our fan base if we each decided to follow an MLS team this season. So Claudio is going to follow the New York, New Jersey.
No, New Jersey.
They dropped the New
New York Red Bulls.
The New York Red Bulls.
Don't disrespect my team.
Formerly the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. And I will be following the New York Yankee owned. Play at Yankee Stadium, New York City FC.
Yes. You had first pick and you chose them.
And I chose them. And also keep in mind, my team had an Italian legend previously. I don't know.
So did mine.
Go ahead. Go. Who is your Italian legend?
Roberto Donadoni played for Milan and the Italian national team in the 90s, and he joined the Metro Stars when they started in 96. So.
All right. Well, you have an Italian legend. I have an Italian legend. I'll take Pirlo.
Yeah, I'll take Pirlo. Donadoni's great, though, and he coaches Bologna in Italy, so he's still around.
All right. Well, that's interesting. So I had first choice, and that's the team that I took, mostly for the Yankee gifs that I could send out.
Mm-hmm.
But an interesting thing happened. Claudio, his team welcomed him with open arms.
True.
They welcomed you with a nice tweet. They liked
Welcome home, Claudio, they wrote.
That was their... If they could have put any music behind it, I think they would. It would have been like a Carmelo Anthony opening video.
Rumors have said that they are making a tribute video to me. So look out for that on Red Bull Twitter.
And then I got people trash talking me. Like I knew what this guy was talking about.
So the Red Bulls welcomed me. And NYCFC was nowhere to be found.
That's fine. Like I told them on Twitter, don't worry about welcoming your new
Left
fans.
Left Joe on an island
don't
to get abused.
Don't worry about welcoming your fans. Worry about
for
winning.
For a 7-0 loss that Joe had no idea even existed.
So this guy on Twitter sends us a meme. And he said...
Part of the Red Bull Army.
Yeah, they should worry more about this. And it's a guy wearing a jersey with the 7-0 and then the two teams behind it. So it took us about 2 to 3 hours to figure out what he was exactly talking about.
We found it.
We found out. Apparently, the Red Bulls beat New York City FC 7-0. I don't know when this game happened.
It was last year.
Last year. Yeah. Let me tell you this. First off, that's a total waste of money to buy a jersey that only says 7-0 on the back. That's... Why would you do that? That makes no sense.
Historic. Historic.
Historic, okay.
So, I get it.
Second, why don't you worry about the year at hand? Like, I can't believe...
Well, we're off to a good start. So, you know, we have a nice win to start the season.
I can't believe...
CONCACAF Champions League semifinalists. You wouldn't know about that because NYCFC is not in the competition.
I can't believe a social media account would spend their time to welcome you with your 2,000 followers on Twitter.
So, Joe, they're very welcoming. They if I had 9 followers like you, they would have welcomed me also.
I don't think they would do that.
NYCFC literally left you on an island. This guy's abusing you with his 7-0 jersey.
You know, it'd be nice if they sent me a DM and said, "Oh, the reason why this guy's making fun of you is because we lost the game last year. Please stop referencing us and please stop adding us moving forward."
So,
all right. So,
but they won the CONCACAF Champions League game last night, the Red Bulls
against Tijuana, which. Yes. By the way, I don't know if you've ever tried to tweet at Tijuana, but they don't have a Twitter page. They lost to a team, doesn't have a Twitter page.
They're a good team. They're from the Mexican League, which historically has been better than the MLS. So it was a big win. It was a big win for the boys.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is a team that was comprised of the town doctor, the town butcher.
They have a guy on the team that's loaned out from Roma.
They must really hate him. No. They must really... Listen, if you imagine to be the guy that you're signed in Serie A, you're playing for Roma, and then all of a sudden they say, "We're gonna loan you out to the Mexican league." You can make the debate that the MLS is worse than that, but if you're in that league, how upset are you that you got loaned out to the MLS or you got loaned out to the Mexican League? That has to be...
It might have been a choice. I mean, he was good for Verona in Serie A, so I'm sure another team would have taken him, or he could even play in the B division.
Yeah, I would say, wouldn't you rather be loaned out to a B division team in Serie B?
He has ties to Tijuana. Maybe it was a good spot for him if they paid his wages, you know? Because you have to keep that in mind when... So when you're owned by a team like Roma and you have a wage set with them, you get those wages even when you go out on loan. So he's getting paid good money to play for Tijuana. Tijuana's not a bad spot. It's right across the border, right next to San Diego.
I understand that. So I'm talking strictly
on the coast.
Strictly from a talent perspective, I would much rather be in the second division of Italian soccer. Second division of Spanish soccer.
I think he's from Paraguay, so maybe he wanted to come back to this part of the world.
All right. You know? We'll see. We'll also update you on if I get trash talked by any more Red Bull fans, and I'm sure now Tijuana fans are going to come out of the woodwork.
On a serious note, it was a big win for them, so they won 3-1 yesterday, 5-1 on aggregate. It's the first time that they've made it to the semifinals of the competition. There's a good article on DiMarzio. My colleague Matt wrote it, which explains that for people who don't follow MLS closely, that the Mexican League is thought to be better than the MLS, but recently MLS is trying to overcome that league, and the MLS teams are doing very well against the Mexican League in this competition. So it's a step forward, and I have to scout tonight because we're playing the winner of Seattle versus Guadalajara.
Mm.
So
how many do we know? How many MLS teams are still remaining in the tournament?
Remaining, I'm not sure. There were 5, I believe, to start. Toronto is still in. They won last night. Also, the Red Bulls are still in, and I think Seattle has a shot to go to the semifinals tonight. And I think that's it. I think just the 3 of them.
All right. Left. Well. We'll follow the CONCACAF.
CONCACAF, yes.
However you say that. We'll follow that tournament, and we'll follow much, much more. You can follow us at Idiot Expert Pod on Twitter. You can follow him, Claudio Perfetto, at CPerfetto11. Follow me at CalchoJoe5. This has been an Idiot Expert Episode 4. We'll see you guys next week.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.